Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2016. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, man.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. And also Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad both of you are here. And what I wanted to do today was get you two together, because it's always a great conversation when I get you guys on the show with me. So thank you for making the time to be here. There's all this talk that's going around right now that Apple isn't getting products out quick enough, that they've lost their focus on the Macintosh, that we're not seeing the new features when we need them. And I'd kind of like to explore that with you guys. So
I'd like to explore it with you too.
Well, that sounds great. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is that we're looking at what seems to be a really long window since the last MacBook Pro update, and even longer since the last time they did a major refresh for the product line. So right now we're looking where are we right now since the last update to the MacBook Pro? Is that about a year and a half ago? Does that sound right?
40 some odd days ago.
40 days ago?
440 some odd days.
Oh, okay. Okay. So definitely over a year for that. And then if we look at the last time Apple did like a major refresh as opposed to like processor bumps, we're going back about 4 years, I think. So
thereabouts.
Yeah. So is this a problem?
For some people.
All right. Well, how about...
Well, I think part of what prompted this was, I saw a piece, and I haven't had time to watch the episode or see it, but apparently on Twit, Om Malik from GigaOm, the founder of GigaOm, I don't know if he's still with them or not, had made some comments on the latest Twit, This Week in Tech, about, what the problem with Apple was. And he was saying it's not their computers, it's the fact that they're building an app TV show, and basically alluding to what a lot of people in the tech community are saying, that, you know, Apple is spreading themselves too thin. They're not focusing enough on the Mac and core products. And, you know, people like to point to this long time between release cycles as the potential issue. And more and more recently, you know, I've been thinking that it's dumb to think that Apple is unaware that they haven't updated their products and that they're actively ignoring it because they're looking the other direction, or I guess not actively ignoring it, that they're ignoring it because they're not paying attention. I think it's really the opposite, that they are paying attention, and what they're paying attention to is how people buy computers, what the cycling of technologies is, and what sort of impact it's going to have. So you mentioned like processor upgrades. You know, we're not seeing the sort of quantum leaps when Intel puts out a new processor every year or every, you know, couple months or whatever the release cycle for processors are. We're seeing small incremental bumps. And so Apple's not following sort of like every time there's a new processor, we have to update our machines. And that frustrates people, a lot of people in the tech community. But, you know, I think Apple pays more attention to the broader audience and consumers. And I think I pointed out, even for me, I know up until recently, I was running a 5-year-old MacBook Pro, and I was perfectly happy with it. I only ended up upgrading because my logic board died and Apple gave me a really good deal to buy a new one, because it had happened many times. But I would have been perfectly fine to continue to use that machine until Apple brought out another one. So I just think there's a lengthening of buying cycles of consumers, especially on desktops, most consumers on desktops and notebooks. And I think Apple's just choosing, for a lot of reasons, to kind of go to this longer release cycle.
Well, okay, so I can totally see that. I mean, that makes sense. Why release a computer or refresh a computer line faster than your customers are going to buy? That doesn't make sense. But there's also this public perception that Apple's falling behind, because you look at these other computer makers, you know, like HP. They're rolling out laptops and desktop computers at a pretty fast pace, and it's creating the perception that Apple just isn't keeping up.
So, listen, I'll tell you one thing. I don't like paying 2016 prices for 2013 technology.
Right.
And that just puts me off my milk completely.
I think it puts a lot of people off their milk.
And that is, I mean, so a lot of this perception is created by Apple itself with the Mac Pro line, which Apple may or may not care about anymore. It's really hard to know. The price on that thing has never come down, and yet Apple is still shipping the same technology announced in June of 2013 and shipped in December of 2013 or 2012. Which was it? It's been two and a half years.
Longer than that, I think.
Oh, it was 21. Goodness gracious.
Well, hold on. I have some technology. We can find out.
Right. No, I mean, your point is well taken, Brian. I mean, you're right. It's not going to line up with every consumer's buying cycle. And I think that's where some of the frustration comes from, especially with higher end users, with people who do want to upgrade every year, every 2 years. And so when you're getting ready to upgrade and you go look at Apple's product lineup and you're an Apple fan and they don't have the latest technology, you're right. You're not going to sit there and buy, you know, a two-year-old processor. You're not going to want to do that. So now you're sort of forced to wait. And that's frustrating, especially
if you're not going to want to buy it at today's prices too. That's a key aspect of this. It's not like Apple lowers its price. I know Apple has never done that, but that's part of the problem. When Apple didn't lower its prices for a product getting long in the tooth, we were only waiting 9 months. 9 months used to be the refresh cycle for almost every single Mac product, if not every single Mac product.
Right.
And that becomes more of a problem for anyone who's paying attention when that product release cycle gets lengthened to 18 to 40 frickin' months.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm getting at, though, is how much of that is consumer perception versus real world, that machine's not better. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, I was in that same boat. I was at 5 years. My Mac was very long in the tooth. I really wasn't having any specific issues with it, but I was like, I kind of want some newer technology. I want to upgrade to something. So I had been trying to hold on to this 2011 MacBook Pro that I had until Apple releases what we're expecting to see, new MacBook Pros this fall. Now I was forced to kind of upgrade, you know, through a number of reasons, but upgrade earlier than I wanted to. So now I have a 2015? The latest Retina MacBook Pro, whatever that is. I can't even remember.
Yeah, so that's like mid-2015.
Yeah, so it's a mid-2015. So now I've bought basically what is, you know, about a year old, a little bit longer machine and technology that goes along with it. And you know what? It's awesome. I love it. It's not there. I don't have any specific issues with it other than I can point to it and say, well, man, I wish I had this year's processors and not last year's processors. But in reality, it's not really impacting my day-to-day work. And I just wonder how much of this is just perception of people thinking that my technology is going to be outdated, because that's what we're used to. We're used to processors not, you know, needing to be upgraded every year or 2 years. And I'm not so sure that's the case anymore with how far we've come with desktops and notebooks.
Well, a lot of these perceptions certainly stem from an earlier era when it truly mattered what the newest processors, the newest RAM, truly matter, because there was such a marked difference. And
you were getting 2x, 3x improvements between generations. We're not in that world anymore, right?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't feel like it. When we're getting our processor upgrades or bumps in product refreshes, it's like we're going from 2.6 gigahertz to 2.8 gigahertz.
Yeah. And I mean, in the real world, improvements seem to be in the 10 to, if you're lucky, 20% range in terms of performance boost. And at the very high end, you know, I recognize that that can be very significant. So I get the people who are really frustrated about the Mac Pro.
And that was June 2013 when it was announced, and then December when it shipped.
The same argument applies to the MacBook Pro too.
Well, I'm running a 2012 MacBook Pro, and I want to replace it because when I bought this, I got it with 8 gigs of RAM, and right. I really need to have 16.
That is a bigger issue with Apple too, and probably a whole separate conversation, yeah. You know, outside of this. But yeah, RAM is, I think, more an issue than processor these days.
Yeah, and I can't upgrade the RAM in this.
Well, and video. I mean, but video.
Video, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Video chips, the things like that matter. There's things like battery life that matters. There is a lot that goes in. But what I was going to say a couple moments ago was that a lot of these attitudes stem from an earlier era and are sort of legacy-based opinions. At the same time, I think that Adam, you're projecting your own personal needs onto the world at large, and I am going to do the same thing in that I truly get offended at the idea of paying today's prices for yesterday's technology, especially when yesterday is becoming more and more many yesterdays ago.
Right.
And that's the thing that I'm going to project onto people. But the real question is the real question that theoretically started this conversation is this because Apple is stretched too thin, or because Apple knows exactly what it's doing? And I suspect that it's the latter. One of the points that you were making during our morning meeting, Adam, was that Mac sales have not plummeted. Mac sales have not suffered.
Well, they suffered a little, but I mean, not.
But they're relatively stable, relatively level.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this last quarter, you know, they dropped, I wanted to pull up the numbers, 20-some% year over year. I mean, it was significant. But it's a small portion of Apple's business, too.
And Apple has a lot of people working for it today. Apple's headcount has, I think, doubled in the last couple of years. And the people who are making Planet of the Apps are not people who would be making Macs. So I don't think we need to worry about that. Although it was Mac people who split off to make the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's iPhone people who have been pulled off to make the Apple Car. So there's definitely some worry there. But when you look at something like Planet of the Apps, or you look at something like Apple Music, or any of the entertainment stuff, I don't think anyone needs to worry that's siphoning attention away from the Macs. And I guess when you really get down to it, Tim Cook, this was another point that I made during the meeting, that Apple knows exactly how long it's been since they released what. And if Tim Cook wanted to do anything about it, he would. He would put personnel on that. The fact that they don't, I think, is a lot more about Apple's priorities than it is about Apple being stretched too thin.
What do you mean by priorities, though? Because I get that from a lot of people, and there's sort of a way of thinking about that. I think is correct, and then there's the other way people think about that, which I think is not correct, meaning that, you know, they're saying they're not prioritizing Macs because they don't care. And I don't buy that argument. I think they very much care about Macs. I think they just know that where it fits in their business and how consumers are buying them, they've adjusted both the release schedule and sort of their attention to it based on those factors.
Yeah.
No. No. I mean, is that what you mean by that or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I thought that went without saying.
Yeah, sorry. No, yeah, I just, you know, some people like to point and just say that they've lost focus because they're looking in another direction. But yeah, I think that's totally incorrect.
Well, it's really kind of tied into it, though. I mean, Apple's, it's not that Apple's looking in another direction. It's that Apple is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And as the scope of the company changes, its priorities are bound to change, but those priorities are also being driven by market realities.
Right.
If Tim Cook saw that the Mac needed to be addressed more closely, he would have people do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And just to update my numbers from earlier, the revenue was 9%, minus 9% change in Macs year over year. It was a 24% change quarter to quarter. And I think that quarter to quarter was just because people know new MacBooks are on the MacBook Pros are on the horizon. So
theoretically.
Yeah. That was my assumption. I mean, we'll know after the next quarter numbers if Apple puts out a new MacBook Pro, how that plays out. But.
Well, if Apple does release a new MacBook Pro soon, I'm going to be one of those statistics because I'll be dropping some money on a new
laptop.
And
I would have been in there too. You know, I guess, you know, kind of the flip side of this. And yeah, Brian, I know I'm projecting a little bit, but I don't think I'm that far out there because I talk to a lot of people about this. You know, us tech people, we want the latest and greatest Macs, but I think to more and more of Apple's larger consumer base, it's not mattering. It's not that big a deal. Like, I don't know that most consumers walking into an Apple store are even noticing or caring that they're buying, you know, 1 or 2 year old processors.
No, they're just excited they're getting a Mac.
They want a new Mac, you know. But I would have been in that boat, Jeff. Yeah, I would have, you know, loved to be the person buying, you know, this new one. But by the same token, I found it very surprising to me that, you know, I thought I was going to be more disappointed with what I ended up with than I really have been. So,
yeah. Well, what you have is a really nice computer. The only reason I don't have what you have is because it's not significantly different enough to my 2012 laptop for me to justify buying one because I want more RAM.
Well, let's be fair. When the new one comes out, I am going to have some remorse.
I totally understand.
Always do. I mean, this is another not new tech problem, right? For anybody, you're always buying at the wrong time if you're on the bleeding edge, right? You always want the next machine, not the current one.
Yeah, back when I was a consultant in the graphic arts and advertising market, my clients were always asking me, "Should I keep waiting before I replace my computer?"
Right.
And my response to them was always, you buy as much computer as you can afford when you need it.
Exactly.
And it's not based on product cycles.
Yeah, I think that's still the good advice. But we get hung up so much on this stuff, you know, and it's why you see people lash out, you know, when Apple hasn't upgraded machines in the amount of time that, you know, they have. Because, of course, we all want the latest and greatest, but I think market realities and consumer reality, behavior realities and things like that have put Apple in a position where they're adjusting how they're doing things. And, you know, there's going to be people who aren't going to like it, but this is kind of the new reality. The other thing that's hard for people to understand is that the Mac is now one of the smaller parts of Apple's business.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
you know, it all plays into that ecosystem and
sure.
And don't forget too that anyone who does pay attention to the overall market sees much better and cheaper. Let me rephrase that. Sees faster, perhaps, or newer technologies on cheaper PCs.
Sure.
And so, you know, like we say, for instance, that Apple's Mac business is relatively stable, but, you know, is Apple actually leaving money on the table? One of the points that you made during our morning meeting, Adam, was that a lot of people are making Hackintoshes.
Yeah, well, pro guys. I know a lot of pro guys doing that.
By definition, that's Apple leaving money on the table.
Yeah, but again, I think the perception is that Apple's leaving money on the table, and some people want to draw the conclusion that they don't know that they're doing that. And I just, again, I think that's naive. I think they're very aware that they're leaving that money on the table, and that they've actively chosen that they're okay with that.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's the case.
I think so, too. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. But, man, this was a lot of fun. So thank you to both of you for being here today.
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And listeners, thank you for being here as well. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.